this is Jim and Sid. Welcome to our latest Outsports podcast. It's our final podcast in the dead season, sports season, which runs from the day the Super Bowl ends to the day football starts. College football starts tonight. The pros start next week, so life is good. But we're going to talk about, in the middle of a hot, steamy August, the Winter Olympics and a great campaign that Sid spearheaded, along with several other organizations, to get openly gay speed skater Blake Skelroup, not just to the Olympics, because if he qualifies for the team, he can go, but to get, you know, the funding and resources for everything he needs to be a competitive athlete with his trainers and stuff like that. So, and the project is on Indigo, and I'll let Sid talk a bit about it, and hopefully some more people will sign up.
So, 2 weeks ago, I should say a couple months ago, I was talking to Blake or emailing with Blake or something, and he said, I really need sponsorship. I need a sponsor. I need money. And I talked to a couple people, and just, you know, there wasn't really the interest. The stuff around the anti-gay stuff in Russia hadn't really hit yet. People, they just weren't, I mean, a speed skater from New Zealand just didn't hit them. 2 weeks ago, Patrick Burke from the You Can Play Project was talking to Blake, and Blake said, I need funding. I can't have my coach or my physiotherapist at the World Cup races, which are essentially the Olympic qualifiers. He has to finish in the top 32 of the World Cup races to qualify for the Olympics. If he does, he goes. If he doesn't, he doesn't go. And it's a big disadvantage because most of the other racers have those resources. And so Patrick and I just started talking, and I said, you know, what if – forget the corporate funding. What if we created an online fundraising campaign and used that to, you know, to get people to just donate $5, $10, $100? And so Patrick and I spent about a week putting it together, figuring out what the different levels should be and talking to Blake and his people, and we created this campaign that within – in 36 hours, hit the minimum goal that we were looking for, which is $15,000, which is, I mean, I thought maybe a few thousand dollars the first couple of days on a late summer week, but I just never envisioned $15,000, people donating $10 here and $100 and a couple people $1,000. It's been awesome to watch just the community kind of rise up and support this athlete.
Well, and it's on a site called Indiegogo, which you can find the link through Outsports. But I know Blake's going to be sending out various postcards. You get and big thank yous. You get various, depending on the funding level, you get various thank yous. And I do think Blake needs to send a postcard to Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, because you and I talked about why this has taken off. And yeah, it's because of this anti-gay legislation in Russia, because let's face it, nobody would have been paying attention to the Sochi Olympics in the summer anywhere in the world if this stuff hadn't happened.
Absolutely.
And so this was the perfect catalyst, because what the Russian anti-gay laws are so draconian that people wanted to do something, and Blake has spoken out against them. He was the first gay athlete to sort of speak out, and he wants to wear some sort of pin or something to sort of show his support for that. And this is a perfect way for people to do it. And I really think if the laws did not exist, Blake would not have any of this, because nobody would have cared. They wouldn't have got it. So it's kind of ironic that at least in this case, all the publicity really helped drive the message home.
Yeah, people. And this was one of the reasons that we also wanted to do this and take it to the public, is really to say this is – forget the straight athletes waving their rainbow flags in the opening ceremony. Sending LGBT athletes who are very out and very proud, sending them to Sochi with all the resources they need to compete, that's the best thing that our community could do. To me, that's the strongest message. We know that people's hearts and minds, they don't change when straight people say, oh, well, I like gay people. They change when gay people and trans people come out and speak about and speak about their story. So that's why I think the community is so behind this, is it's essentially sending a cruise missile into the middle of Russia. I don't like making military analogies, but that's kind of what it is.
And he's had, so far he's 18,000 as we speak, and the goal is, well, the goal was 15 initially, but now the goal is a little higher for to get everybody there that he needs.
Well, it was, the goal was always 33,000. That's what he needs to get everything that he needs. That's what he needs. And, you know, frankly, we put the stated goal, the state as the minimum goal, which is 15,000, which at 15,000, that will affect how he performs. We just didn't think that we'd get almost $19,000 in 3 days. It just, we just didn't think it would take off that fast. So, so we put a reasonable goal, but we hit it in 36 hours. So he really does, to get everything that he needs, not just at the World Cup, but at Sochi Olympics, he needs $33,000. That's the real goal. And we're already halfway there.
Well, I think it's just a great, it was a great idea, and it really is it's taken off, and I think people have sort of got what, you know, what it takes to do this. And I think people are also confused about, they think Olympians are all rich. Or not, yeah, if they're not rich, but that their government is going to simply pay for everything, and that's simply not true.
Well, for the World Cups, so again, these, the World Cups are the key races before the Olympics. They are what base on, they are what your Olympic participation is based on. New Zealand gives Blake about $6,000 to fund his 4 trips for himself and his coach and his physiotherapist. $6,000 to go from Calgary to Italy, South Korea, China, and Russia. And it's just, it barely covers one of those trips. So it's just, they just do not give him the resources. And, you know, New Zealand just doesn't have many Winter Olympians. They've only won one Winter Olympic medal ever, so they just don't put the resources into their Winter Olympics program.
Yeah, so I think people really need to understand that. There are some Winter Olympians, maybe skaters, some skiers who are, you know, professionals in terms of getting a lot of money on their circuits, who do very well. The vast majority of Winter and Summer Olympians really are kind of hand-to-mouth in that sense, especially from these, you know, quote-unquote minor sports. I imagine speed skaters in the Netherlands probably are very well compensated and not going to have a problem, but speed skaters from New Zealand are not getting big endorsement deals down there. So, and Blake is also a great guy to do this with. I mean, he has spoken out about it. He's not been shy. He's been, you know, at the forefront. And so in some ways that also made it easier because people saw this wasn't just some guy asking for money. He's actually done stuff before this campaign even happened.
Yeah, well, he's been easy to work with. He's a really great guy, and I hope people come out and support him because he really does, he needs the money to compete, at, to be our representative of the Olympics. That's what he needs.
So go to Outsports and check on the link for that, and it's Indiegogo. But now we're going to go from a winter sport to our favorite sport, football, and we're not talking pro football today. We're talking college football. And Chris Dufresne, the excellent college football writer for the L.A. Times, does his top 25 countdown, where he, every day for 25 days he did a different team. And surprise, surprise, his number one team was not Oregon. It was not Alabama. It was Stanford, which to people not following college football, probably a surprise, but Stanford is picked in the top five in most pools, or most polls. And Sid happens to be a graduate of Stanford, so you're nervous that your guy's got a lot of pressure to.
Well, first of all, it's, you know, being a Stanford fan, it's just a treat when you go to a bowl game, and for the last few years to have had a top five, top ten team has been great. So nervous? No, but this is a great opportunity, and I remember years ago, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, watching for a couple games this kid named Andrew Luck play. And I wrote on Outsports, he has the makings for an NFL superstar. He's really good. And watching Kevin Hogan, their new quarterback who came in mid-season, watching him play last year and beat some really good teams, it was that same, wow, what, you know, that this kid really could be something special. And he has, he's mobile like Andrew Luck. He has he's really smart, obviously going to Stanford. So, and his numbers last year were really good, 72% completion percentage. 9 touchdowns, 3 picks. So, you know, in 5 games. So I'm excited because, A, the opportunity to have somebody other than the SEC win the national championship is enticing, and B, for it to be Stanford would just be, that would be amazing.
Well, it was great about Dufresne because he's a West Coast guy, and obviously he knows the SEC has been the powerful conference. But he had a great little couple of paragraphs about, I mean, Alabama was lucky the last 2 years. Not lucky in the championship game where they played very well, but they in late November were not going to the BCS title game, which is only 2 teams. They needed 1 year, I think they needed, 2 years ago they needed Oregon to beat Stanford. Last year they needed Stanford to beat Oregon, and they also needed Kansas State to lose.
Yeah.
And if neither of those had happened, they would not even have had the opportunity to play for the national championship. And Stanford and Alabama have the same record the last, is it 3 years? 25-5 or last 30 games. And Alabama also has these ridiculous schedule where they play all these non, you know, what they call the football conference, FBS schools. So it's a great program in Alabama, but you don't know how they would have done in a 4-8 or 16 team playoff, but everyone simply assumes that they ought, oh yeah, everyone knows they were the best team the last 2 years. Well, by the time November hit, they weren't even in the top 2 to go there. And so I think it shows you that when people kind of mock a team like Stanford, like, well, they're actually better than you may think, but people don't see them because they usually play their game late at night.
Well, what's interesting about that last year is Alabama, they did need Stanford to beat Oregon, but it was in Oregon. It was this quarterback, Kevin Hogan's, only his second start, and the game went to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
So they got within a whisper of Oregon did of going to the national championship game instead of Alabama. But Alabama, in sports, you need to be good and you need to be lucky. And last year, Alabama was both.
Well, and that's the problem we've always had with the BCS, with only 2 teams. I mean, in a 4-team playoff, which will be starting next year, it'll at least be a little bit better. I'd prefer 8, personally. I actually prefer 16, but I think 8's probably where they're heading. Because you would have had at least have to go through one more round of games. Because, I mean, Notre Dame, I watched them last year, and they weren't very good. I mean, they were not an unbeaten team in the way I saw them play. And Stanford was the game where the guy actually, I think, scored a touchdown, and they ruled him short on 4th down. It would have kept the game going. They should have lost to Pitt. I just knew where Notre Dame was going to get crushed by whoever they played in the final game. But I think what I love about college football, I'm not as a big fan as pros, is sort of the fans and how excited people get for their alma mater or region. And we had an item today from the Project Q down in Atlanta of, you know, the Atlanta Gay Flag Football League has a margarita bus this time of year, but it's always geared to the SEC because people are so obsessed. They, you know, wear their SEC gear, and it's actually quite a lot of fun. And so I think that's sort of that spirit that you see in college football is one of the reasons I kind of like watching the sport.
Yeah, it is fun. The reason that I have become less interested in college football is because of the way they determine the national champion. But I appreciate that they're changing it, and maybe I'll become more of a college football fan once they have some kind of playoff system.
Well, and I think it's going to be a bigger playoff than 4. It's simply the writing's on the wall. I mean, these big schools want to get rid of the NCAA. Telling them what to do, and my guess is there'll be within 10 years 8 or 16 teams, because people are going to see how fun 4 teams is next year.
Yeah,
because you're going to go through the whole bowl season, and you don't pick the 4 teams until the bowl games are over. I believe that's how it works, or maybe I'm mistaking that. Whatever. There's going to be a system though. Where you're not going to have right now where it's 2. You're going to have 4. Plus, it's the best.
Yep.
It's the best thing for a body paint.
It is. We love those body paint galleries. We're going to have to come up with one in late September.
You know, you should come up. You should revise the one we did last year because all those pictures are
out
of the system because we moved everything to our new servers with SB Nation, and those photos are no more. So,
no question.
And we do like the schools with long names like Washington State because you get that many more people painting their bodies as opposed to Iowa, which is 4 guys.
Right, where each person's a letter.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's a letter.
They should do, like, what's a really long way? What's Texas A&M's actual name?
I don't know,
Texas
but it's Texas Agriculture and Mining or something, yeah.
And my wait, it's funny. The Wikipedia page doesn't even have what it actually is.
Yeah, I think exactly.
Texas. It's the Agricultural and Mechanical College of Texas. You take an entire fraternity.
Perfect. Of hot Aggies.
I was at Texas A&M in last April. I didn't see many hotties, I can tell you.
Are you going to go to a Stanford game this year?
I don't know. I don't really see they play. I'm not sure who they play.
I think they're playing Oregon on Thursday. I know that.
What's that?
They play Oregon on a Thursday night.
Well, but I would go to I would go to their LA game. I think they're at USC this year.
Well, it was an interesting story about ESPN and how they control college football, including the schedules. They're actually USC the 16th of November.
Yeah.
And they play Oregon on a Thursday night in November, which is going up against the NFL. But it was an ESPN decided we needed a game. Oregon, I guess contractually, Oregon was obligated to play one Thursday night contractually with the ESPN thing. And ESPN said, okay, we want Stanford.
I mean, that's two top five teams right now.
Yeah, but it's on a Thursday, which to me just kind of, you know, it butts heads with the NFL.
Well, what's the NFL game that night?
Good question. November 7th?
Or is that the World Series? No,
the World Series. It ends by that.
What did you say, November 7th? Yeah. Redskins at Vikings.
Well, also, it could depend if Stanford and Oregon are both out of the national title race. The game loses some of its luster, but we are ready for some football. But, again, think cold. Give money to Blake Skeller for the Winter Olympics. And next week, Sid and I will reveal our Super Bowl picks, which I know you're all going to be dying to hear.
Add that to the cacophony.
All right, and that's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you next week.